From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will continue a series on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. We hope you will find the messages to be encouraging and helpful as you see how God can use ordinary people in the work of His kingdom. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought from Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening, followed by some beautiful sacred music.
This morning's text is found in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 10. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Comfort thyself, tried believer, with this thought. God says, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Does not the word come like a soft shower, assuaging the fury of the flame? Yea, is it not an asbestos armor against which the heat hath no power? Let affliction come. God has chosen me. Poverty, thou mayest stride in at my door, but God is in the house already, and he has chosen me. Sickness, thou mayest intrude, but I have a balsam ready. God has chosen me. Whatever befalls me in this vale of tears, I know that he has chosen me. If, believer, thou requirest still greater comfort, remember that you have the Son of Man with you in the furnace. In that silent chamber of yours there sitteth by your side one whom thou hast not seen, but whom thou lovest. And oft times, when thou knowest it not, he makes all thy bed in thy affliction, and smooths thy pillow for thee. Thou art in poverty, but in that lonely house of thine, the Lord of life and glory is a frequent visitor. He loves to come into these desolate places, that he may visit thee. Thy friend sticks closely to thee. Thou canst not see him, but thou mayest feel the pressure of his hands. Dost thou not hear his voice? Even in the valley of the shadow of death, he says, Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Remember that noble speech of Caesar. Fear not, thou carriest Caesar and all his fortunes. Fear not, Christian, Jesus is with thee. In all thy fiery trials, his presence is both thy comfort and safety. He will never leave one whom he has chosen for his own. Fear not, for I am with thee, is his sure word of promise to his chosen ones in the furnace of affliction. Wilt thou not, then, take fast hold of Christ, and say, Through flood and flames, if Jesus lead, I'll follow where he goes.
My love.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies on the lives of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the course of the messages, he's presenting a biographical sketch of each of the apostles. Today, he continues to look at James. The Gospels record very little about James. We know that he was the brother of John, the beloved disciple. He was part of the inner circle, those disciples who were closest to Christ, including Peter and John. He was the first of the apostles to be martyred. But even the reference to that event is very brief. Yet in James, we see a man whose worth was greater than his reputation. First and most important of all, James heard the call of Christ, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." James took the Lord at his word and gave his all to the Savior. He was a man of great zeal. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to continue a message entitled, James, Zealous but Jealous.
In Revelation chapter 6, we have one of the most horrific passages in all the Bible. At the end of the chapter, where the apostle gets this great vision of Christ coming, and he sees the earth in turmoil, because I want to tell you the worst news that this worldly generation could possibly hear is that Christ is coming. Spells an end to all the nefarious schemes in which they're involved. But John paints the picture of the great men of the earth. All the great men alongside the slaves and all the others that they wouldn't think of rubbing shoulders with. And they're calling on the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the face of the Lamb and from His wrath. Great men lost. By way of contrast, in Revelation chapter 3, you have the Lord Jesus speaking to the church in Philadelphia. They're small, they're insignificant, but they're blessed of God. Contrast those great men with name and reputation, but nothing else. Saints of God with no name, no reputation, but they're safe in time and they're safe for all eternity. What is it that gives real worth to life? There's a British comedian who had a choice to make. Comedians don't normally have this choice, but he had a choice of career to make as to whether he would be a professional comedian or whether he would be an opera star. He made the choice of professional comedian, much to most British people's relief, because for many reasons he stands fairly apart from the usual run-of-the-mill comedians, as being moral and decent and family-oriented, etc., etc. There are many Pavarottis, I suppose, through a lifetime. Maybe he would say there's not, but there are many tenors anyway. Harry Secombe, a beautiful tenor voice. A Welshman. Charlie will be glad to hear that. Now and again, he gets away from his comedy routines and he sings. Sings some serious stuff. One song I heard him sing on record, I think, puts the position, as far as the worldly man can go, about real life. And as I was studying this message, I could hear the voice of Harry Secombe coming back through the corridors of time, and he was singing, "If I can help somebody as I journey along, then my living will not be in vain." That's as far as the world can go. That sounds extremely noble. And I suppose as far as the world can be noble, it is noble. But there's a whole lot more to life and to real worth in life than anything that is merely time-oriented or people-oriented. There must be something truly spiritual and something that is truly eternal. Now you think of James in contrast. What is it to live a life that is of more worth than mere reputation? Well, first of all, it is to know Christ. There was a time in James's life when he heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me." And he came. There was that crucial moment when the call of Christ came to his ears and to his heart to leave all and follow me. And he left all. There, my friend, is the beginning of life. And there is the beginning of something of real value and lasting worth. Something that transcends name and reputation and greatness among the people of the earth. This, my friend, is the beginning of everything that's worth having. It is following Jesus Christ. And of course, having heard his call, them to go on to do his will. James not only left everything behind him, he didn't then begin to live in a vacuum. No, that vacuum was filled with the will of Jesus Christ. That's what makes life worth living. And then fishing for men. The Lord had promised these four young men that if they followed him, left aside their fishing in the Sea of Galilee, he would make them fishers of men. James set out not to change the world by a political revolution. There were plenty of Jews who wanted to do that. In fact, if the Lord Jesus had arrived on the scene to say, "Take up your swords and follow me," the most of the Jewish nation would have been behind him. But James was not seeking to institute a new political regime. He was not seeking to overthrow the social order, though, mind you, ultimately the gospel did just that. James was out to fish for men. God called them to go out with the gospel net and let that net down among the teeming multitudes of a lost humanity and catch them for Christ. And I want to tell you, my friend, when you come to the end of life's journey, you'll not be counting the dollars that you've put away in the bank. You'll not be counting the directorates that you've established. You'll not be counting the great things that men have said about you. If you are not saved at that time, a follower of Christ, then it will all be vain. The only thing you want are the mercies of God to you, and the fish that God has brought into the net through you. He was catching men for Christ. A life that is worthy is a life that gives all to Christ. That's real worth in life. Jesus said, if you want to save your life and try to save your life, you're going to lose it. There are an awful lot of people, and there's many of them who profess to be saved. Maybe in this very meeting. And you're so intent on saving your life. You want to save yourself for business. You want to save yourself for success. You want to guide the ship of your destiny along the directions that you have in mind. And the Lord Jesus says, you're going to lose your life. You'll lose it. You put all your time and all your energy and your ability and your talent, you put it all into things that are really not worthy of such a sacrifice. And you leave the will of God alone with hardly a thought to give all in surrender to Christ. I want to tell you, that's what gives real worth to a man's life. If you want to test the worth, then come to the end. When you can face death knowing that your life has not been in vain. I want to tell you, my friend, when you walk into the presence of death or the challenge of death, it makes you think that in a way that you've never thought before. Let me tell you a story that's actually more humorous than anything else, but I'm one of those people who throughout most of his life has been disgustingly healthy. If all doctors were depending on people like me, they'd be out of a job thus far. Now, all that can change. I don't say that boastfully. It's simply a matter of fact. As many of you know, just to keep me humble, the Lord allowed my gallbladder to start giving a lot of trouble and all the rest of it, and after suffering it for a couple of years and using it as a diet mechanism, I couldn't put on too much weight, for it killed me with the pain, etc. With the help, the prodding, the pushing, the advising of all the nurses in this congregation, I ended up having surgery. Now, before they give you surgery, they put you through certain tests. And they sent me for these tests, and they lay you out in a slab like a corpse, only you're not a corpse. And they have all this high-tech equipment by your side, and they stick a lot of jelly over jello. Not jelly over, I'll not get into all that. But anyway, a cold, slimy substance, and they get something like a mouse that you use with a Macintosh machine, and they run it all over your midriff and all around. Well, I knew that my pain was here. I knew that's where all the trouble was. But this, as I thought, this foolish young lady, she was paying very little attention. She got rid of that in a matter of a second or two, and she got right up into here. And something was appearing on the screen, at least it appeared to me that it was appearing on the screen, that she didn't really, one of them certainly didn't understand. And they began to talk. This is a very bad habit that technicians have. They ought not to do it. They began to talk as if I were a corpse or a slab of meat there. And as they prodded here and here and pushed down and looking very, very strangely at the screen and wondering, what is that? And she began then to say, well, it could be deep down in the pancreas.
I didn't come here about a pancreas. I can hardly spell the thing. I came here for a gallstone. It was more like a golf ball. That's what I'm here for. Now, what's she bawling about up here? Now, I don't know much about medicine, but I did have the feeling that if there was something deep down in the pancreas, it was not going to be fun. For the first time in my life, as I say, we can laugh at it now, but lying there for the first time in my life, I realized, personally, I'd realized it up here. But for the first time in my life, until I got the actual results of all those tests, I realized, like many people have done, you can go to visit a doctor for something minor, and suddenly they find there's something not so minor. The reality of eternity struck me very hard. And as I thought of that and went to the Lord, I had to ponder very carefully. Am I ready to die? Is the religion that I have preached to others not only good enough to live by, is it good enough to die by? Is the faith that I have been preaching these 30 years, is it something that I can now stand on if God faces me with the ultimate challenge of this life? Thank God it was. Jennifer Crean told us that when she went into hospital, God gave her a deep, settled peace. And that was what the doctors were saying. In reality, we see no hope. No hope. Why? Because when you have Christ, and when you're in fellowship with Christ, you have the only thing in life that makes it worth living. And the proof of the worth of real life is that you can face death in the knowledge that life has not been in vain, and by the grace of God, He has brought you to the place in preparation to enter in through the gates to the glorious presence of your King, to have a place in heaven. That's the proof that your life has not been in vain. To know what Paul knew, that henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. I want to tell you, that is the proof that your life has not been in vain. And that's what James had. He didn't have much of a name, but he had a life of eternal worth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening. and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.